All right, so we are on part two of working through Matthew 8. I think we're going to start with verse 27. I'm out in a parking lot in our gospel van doing this audio, and a man came up, saw our signs, wanted to talk, just got the chance to share the gospel with him. The truth went out. He received it well, took a gospel card. Glory to God, that's what we're out here for. So I got interrupted, but I am back at it. So let's get right back at it. We are at verse 27. We just got done talking about the fear of God. Don't live in fear of the world and your flesh and people and all those things. Fear God and obey him. That is man's duty, as it says in Ecclesiastes. Verse 27. But the man marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's pretty awesome. In this verse right here, we see that these men with him, they, again, no Holy Spirit, no finished written word of God, no history. They didn't really know who Jesus was exactly. Later, they come to find that out. And so it was easy for them to fear death. We don't have that excuse. We know who Christ is. We know the word. We have the spirit. If we're born again by the gospel, check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. It's on every page. Test yourself to it. The Holy Spirit comes later in Acts 2. And what did we see? Go read through the whole book of Acts. Mighty boldness on these men. Before the Holy Spirit came, they were doubting, running, hiding, denying, right? Peter denied the Lord. After the Holy Spirit comes, I love that story where they said, hey, those guys we told not to preach Jesus, they're back there preaching him. Who are these guys? They're just fishermen. They're not learned, trained scribes. What are these guys doing? Yeah, the Holy Spirit brought great boldness. And we see that over and over again. We saw it in our lives. We see it in saints we meet and we disciple. When they walk in the word and the truth, just today I got an email from a lady on the other side of the world. Sister Debbie and I got an email from a lady that she's discipling and I'm helping disciple in the doctrines of Christ. She said that her life is settled and she had a major outpouring in three areas of truth, and she's settled, she's peaceful, she's calm, she's walking in the truth. Before that, she was all over the place. Yeah, we hear stories from people that are suicidal, people that run to drugs and alcohol and sex or whatever outside of marriage for their comfort and pleasure, but it leads to destruction. Sin always leads to death. But when they get in the truth and they know who Christ is and they know who the Word is and the Holy Spirit comes in their life, peace, calm, inner cheerfulness. Amen? So if you want, let me go back. If you want boldness and you want truth and you want victory in your life, cry out to the Father for the Holy Spirit. Be filled with it. Empty out your vessel from the worldliness, sin, and junk. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and you will have boldness and the power to overcome in victory. The Messiah, Christ Jesus, shows us his power over the creation. He spoke the word and the wind and the sea went calm. He is the creator. Most people don't realize that. People see Jesus as this human blessed by God. He was the creator. Go read John 1. That makes it clear. A side note I want to make here. The creation obeys his command. Did you see that? He calms the wind and the sea. I have a question. Why should we, his creation, not fully obey him? I don't understand people that claim Christ and they fight against obedience. It's wrong, it's unbiblical, it's sinful, it's fleshly, it's worldly, it's of Satan. The creation obeys this creator, the wind and the sea. So should you and I. John 14:15 says, if we love him, we keep his commandments and obey him. Again, many in this greasy grace, easy believe, carnal culture, churchianity, they fight against obedience, saying, you're working your way to heaven. Oh, no. No, we're not. We could never work our way to heaven. We're working for the one who put our feet on the narrow path to heaven. Why would we not work and strive to obey in holiness and perfect obedience as best we can for our King? Ask yourself that if you're born of God. And we know in Ephesians 5:9, what's the fruit of those who have the Spirit of God? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Well, Galatians 5 gives us many other gifts, but what does Ephesians 5:9 say? The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. You can't live in righteousness or goodness or truth unless you're obeying God in holiness via his word. There's no sin or rebellion in that. Amen? Let's move on. Verse 28. I'm all pumped up now, preaching to that man the gospel. I want to go out and street preach. I got to get my mind back on teaching the word of God. So give me a chance here to settle back in. Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, unto the country of Gergenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. So here we see some demon-possessed men that were powerful. They were a force. Nobody wanted to go that way and encounter them. Sounds like a bad gang, criminal crime area, right? What this shows us is how powerful Satan and his minions, his demons, are, and how they can have an effect in a person's life, right? I personally believe that today in the world, many of the mental health issues we see could be oftentimes demonic. I believe that. I won't go into great detail. Don't know each specific case, but I believe that. Much of it is demonic. This is all the more reason that saints of God should avoid all appearance of evil, never dabble near it or close to it. 1 Thess 5 says avoid all appearance, not just avoid evil, avoid all appearance. And we see a lot of demon activity around Jesus in that time, and we see it going on still yet today. And where we can take great comfort, saints and seekers, if you'll repent and follow Christ, is that Christ demonstrates total power and authority over them every single time without wavering. I love that. Great confidence and faith we can have in Christ. I want to be clear on this. Saints cannot be possessed by demons in this way. Nope. No room for a person with the Holy Spirit in them, the temple of God, to be possessed by Satan. Though we can be tempted, oppressed, attacked, and certainly affected by Satan. He's a roaring lion, right? 1 Peter 5:8. But we cannot be possessed. So take heart. Jesus has full authority over these demons. Watch, we're going to see how great his authority is. And we live with the authority of Christ. I'll tell you how we do that. Verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So, let's go there. Check out that these demons call out to Christ. Notice the power and the knowledge of these Satan's demons. They knew who Jesus was on the spot. Even the men that were with Jesus didn't know who he was exactly. The demons knew. Interesting, isn't it? Satan knows God's word. His demons clearly know it. He tempted Christ on the Temple Mount with God's word. He used God's word with Eve. He twisted scriptures to deceive her. Modern pastors, churchianity, religious cults do it today. That's why you must rightly divide the word of God. Rightly dividing means it must be straight and be on the straight way, not crooked theology, twisted, pulled, and turned into every single ditch. If you think you or I are equal opponents for Satan and his minions, you are deceived. You are not, neither am I. Only Christ has the power and the authority, and then Christ in us to flee him, resist him, get behind God's word so we not be devoured by him. Amen? So that's what we do. We get behind God's word, we're in Christ, we resist the devil, and James says he will flee from us. Jesus, great, great power over the world of darkness and of life and light. The verse there where it says, torment us before the time, I believe, that they're speaking of Revelation that tells us the final resting place of these demons and Satan. Revelation 20 verse 10. And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and where the beast and the false prophet are shall be tormented day and night forever. So these demons, Satan, they know their final fate. They're not ignorant of it. They're not ignorant of God's word. So be very weary of them. Paul says they come as ministers of righteousness. Satan is an angel of light, he tells us. They twist God's word. They use it to deceive. They use it to tease your flesh. Easy believism. False gospels. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, a false Jesus, false spirit, false gospel. Look around churchianity today and all the false religious groups claiming Jesus. Yeah, Satan has been very, very successful there. Don't fall for it. They're wise. Hold fast to God's word. Do not let them deceive you. And then verse 30 says this, and there was a great way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So here we see a herd of animals feeding, swine or pigs. These are the lowest form of animals in the nation of Israel. It was forbidden by God to touch them or eat them. They were unclean. In the Torah, under the Torah law that made you unclean. How fitting that these demons would choose to go into a bunch of swine that were unclean. Verse 31. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Hear that verse, the devils, it's daimon in the Greek. It means evil spirits. So these are demons, evil spirits of Satan, their master. So it's interesting, these demons request to be sent into pigs. Why are they requesting to be sent anywhere? Well, this is similar to what Jesus said about when these evil spirits, when they leave, they go looking for a resting place or a home, right? Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. So it seems these spirits desire to find a place to dwell, to enter, to rest. It makes sense. And check out this next verse. Jesus gives them one quickly, and we're going to see that power and authority of Christ over darkness, life and death right here. Watch this. Verse 32. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into a herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Okay, this is a most telling verse, and it is the manner in how Jesus casts out demons. Go! And they obeyed him. Now, this is so foreign and unlike what you see today in the modern so-called deliverance ministries, false pastors, false ministries. They claim power to cast out demons. And what do? They yell at demons over and over again. They tell them, get out, get out, get out, get out. They do all kinds of stunts and repetitive prayers and shaking people. And it goes on and on for many, many hours, I've heard. But Jesus says, go. One word. And the demons fled into that herd of pigs. Apostle Paul also showed the same demon casting power given to him by Christ. You read about that in the book of Acts 16. Paul said, go, demons, get out. And they left. If you truly have the power and authority, it should be that quick to cast out demons. Unless in some cases, I understand, it requires prayer and fasting, and that's per Jesus. Matthew 17:21, he said some come out via prayer and fasting. But we see the powerful authority of Christ and his workers. That should be the marker. He has full authority over death, hell, light, darkness. Father gave him all authority in heaven and earth, right? So what do? We talked about this earlier. We get behind his word. We get in Christ via the gospel, get behind his word. We resist the devil and he will flee. James 4:7. That's what we do, right? That's how we live our lives. We avoid evil, get in Christ, get in the word, and walk in it. In this verse, we also see that the demons were able to control the animals they were cast into. Why? Pigs normally don't like water. My experience, I'm an old farm boy. Unless it's wallow in mud, they ran into the ocean and they drowned. So we see that they have power over what they enter. Like when people are demonized, they cut themselves, they throw themselves in fire, they writhe back and forth, they do all kinds of things. Demons have power to control people. Very, very interesting and good to know. We also see here that the Lord sets two men free from these demons, sends them into the pigs. The pigs all go and perish. I think if you really consider this, does this not show the value of those two humans over a whole herd of pigs? We get a lot of paganism today going on. They lift animals up equal to people. That is not so. I always say animals are just meat walking around because people eat many of these animals. People eat dogs and people make pets out of them today. Yeah. Yeah. Pets become paganism in most all cases unless they're a working dog that has an actual purpose. And so Jesus demonstrates the men are far more important than this herd of pigs. Lastly, in the ultimate display of who Satan is and his minions, He's called the father of lies and a murderer, per Jesus in John 8. The pigs all die. Satan's a murderer. We hear stories all the time and personal testimonies of people getting involved in darkness and wanting to kill themselves or kill others. And this is what Satan is. He's a murderer. He's a liar. Jesus, glorious Savior, has power over him. What a glorious Savior he is. Verse 33. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen the possessed of the devils. All right, so the men keeping the pigs, the farmers, I guess, they went into town and said, hey, you can't believe what happened, right? And so they're giving testimony, and the opposite of what you would think would happen, happened. I guess think in the hopeful for spiritual, the opposite happens. But really, what is normal for fleshly, carnal man? Oh, yeah, it happens. Ready? Here we go. Verse 34. And I can appreciate this verse. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart from their coasts. Interesting. So here we have Jesus, God in the flesh, setting two men free of demons. Yeah, it cost him a herd of pigs, so what? And the town folks come to him and say, basically, get out of here. You know, I can really appreciate that. Oftentimes the police are called on us when we're peacefully preaching or standing, and people tell us, get out of here, when we're trying to just set them free with the Word of God, out of the world, out of churchianity, out of their sin. Yep, they try to run us off as well. And we are no greater than our master, are we not? In these last days, it's going to get more and more wicked. I expect to be arrested and thrown in jail someday, even though I'm peaceful and law-abiding. They're going to change the laws. They're going to silence the gospel, but it still must go out. Amen? Amen. Jesus, our Master, Creator, Messiah, in keeping with his command here, he tells us that we are to leave when we're not wanted in an area. Matthew 10:14, dust your feet off. Well, and when we get to Matthew 9, we're going to see Jesus left the area. Let us imitate our master in this. We go out, we preach the gospel. Yep, we encounter adversity. And if it's strong enough and it's a mass of people, not just one or two, dust your feet off and you move on. This applies also to the world, but to friends and family just the same. If you have friends and family that don't receive the word of God and the gospel and live it and strive for it and join with you in unity and holiness, you need to dust your feet off from them and move on. Amen. God is not partial, nor should we be. You shouldn't be looking at your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncle as more valuable than the bum in the gutter down the street when you go and do ministry. I've had to train myself that. I have unregenerated children that were, I was born again long after they left. I used to drink and party with them. They're still in the world. They've counted the cost. The cost is too great to follow Jesus, even though they know Christ is the way. I hope and pray they repent before it's too late. Sister Debbie and I had to realize our children are no more valuable than the children out in the world, the drunks out in the world, the prostitutes out in the world, the false teachers and the false churchianity people in the world. We must go and show no partiality and preach if the people that we have preached to don't want to walk with the Lord. We're there for them. If they repent, we'll go back and teach them. But if they don't want it today, we go on. No partiality in God. 1 Timothy 5:21 says, do nothing with partiality. Test yourself there. Are you partial to your family and friends versus all the people perishing out in the world? Consider that. Lastly, the Bible calls us to be holy. 1 Peter 1:15. That means to be set apart. So I would ask you, are you setting yourself apart? This area of Scripture is helping us to see that we must not live with the dead, that we must seek after Christ, we must fear God and not fear the world, and we must be willing to receive Christ, not push him off and send him away in holiness. Are you doing that in your life? Are you seeking the kingdom of God with all that you are in spirit and truth? John 4:24, my ministry is built on that. Or are you like these people, fearful? Are you like these people, not knowing who Jesus is, not really keeping his word? They didn't have the word you do today. You have no excuse. And also, is your religious body going to send the biblical Savior or his representative, preachers of righteousness? Are they going to send them away? Are they going to call the police on them? Are they going to run you off? You know, that group of farmers, it cost them a herd of pigs. That's probably why they were mad. people said, go, get out of here. We don't want you causing us trouble. When we show up to preach righteousness outside of a church body, you know what it might cost them? Some followers that put money in the plate. Yeah, if they repent and come out and follow Christ and they no longer keep those temples of man, oh, they don't like that. Get out of here. Go away. You're causing dissension. You're going to cause division in our group. Oh, Jesus, Master Messiah, came to cause great division. We're going to learn that more as we read on in the book of Matthew. Have you been divided out for this glorious Savior? I hope you've enjoyed this study on Matthew 8. Up next, we're going to get into Matthew 9. I hope you are enjoying following, listening along. Shoot us an email. Let us know how we can edify you in the faith. All our resources at don'tperish.com. Click on the Daily Edification tab and see where we're pouring out every day as we're out preaching the gospel. I just preached the gospel to a man right here. God is so, so gracious to let me, I do not deserve this, take part in his eternal work. We love you all. Up next, Matthew 9. God be praised.